gentlemen, once again to another Geek Culture Congress. I'm one of your hosts, as always, Lil Speedy Jr. Gonzalez, accompanied by the very famous and talented and funny Mr. Tarek Lewis. Tarek, what's going on with you?
Lil Tarek Lewis, thank you very much.
Lil Tarek,
yeah, yeah. And, of course, the number one nighttime jock here in Tampa, Florida, Mr. Joey Franchise, Wild 94.1, is in the building.
You're back.
You're back. We're all back. Yes, we're all back with a full show here, here at Geek Culture Congress. And, man, we are playing catch-up because we haven't had to get – well, everybody's been taking their summer vacations and been a little disconnected and stuff. But we're finally getting back on track here on the show, and we're going to talk about – the Phase 4 Marvel Cinematic Universe lineup announced at San Diego Comic-Con.
Yay.
Yeah. You're so excited, Tarek. What happened? I'm so excited. What happened? Tell us what happened.
I'm not, you know.
Show us where Kevin
Feige hurt you. Did it not intrigue you? None of that list?
Not really.
Show me on the phone where Kevin Feige hurt you.
Kevin Feige, man.
Feige. Kevin, call us, okay? Tell us how you say your last name. Tweet us, all right?
We need the clout.
Yeah. Oh, man. So, let's see. The lineup, of course, the first movie, let's talk about, let's get into it, is Black Panther. Mm-hmm. And we have a date for Black Panther of, I don't know if this is right, May 1st, 2020?
22. 22?
Yeah.
Or 22. They haven't come out with the exact date yet.
It says 20 here, but I might be wrong.
Which one are you looking at?
It's supposed to go all the way to 22, the whole lineup.
Oh, okay.
But the first movie is in 20.
I think Black Panther is like...
Black Panther. Sorry. Black Widow. Sorry. Did I say Black Panther?
Yeah.
See, that's what happens when you come...
Don't disrespect the king.
When you get your blacks mixed up, okay?
Don't do that.
That happens a lot in my job.
Oh, man. Let's not get into that. Anyway, Black Widow, ladies and gentlemen. Black Widow.
Yeah.
Are you looking forward to that, Kevin? Are you looking forward to that, Mr. Terrick?
No, I am not.
No, why not?
Well,
you think that's a beaten horse?
Well, they've done Red Sparrow, right? Mm-hmm. The movie they did a year ago.
Right.
I've seen Wanted.
Right.
Gina Davis had a movie back in the day called Long Kiss Goodnight.
Uh-huh.
Black Samuel Widow. Jackson was in that, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
Was good.
Any Charlize Theron movie past 2009. Beyond Flux. It's all going to be, like, I'm not expecting a very intriguing story. I expect it to be pretty similar to something we've seen before. But it could be cool. It could be action-packed and cool and just fun. So, yeah, I'm going to check it out, of course. I'm a fan.
So my question to all of you is, I mean, it doesn't look like it's going to go the Red Sparrow route. You know, a little bit maybe. I think it's going to touch it. But I think, you know, they're going to get into some more Marvel stuff, you know? From what I took from the trailer, the little sneak peek trailer, at least the description of the trailer. Had they released that trailer on YouTube?
For which one?
The Black Widow trailer?
Not yet.
I've heard descriptions about it. Yeah, I've read the description about it. And it seems, from the description, it doesn't seem like that's the route they're going, per se.
It's going to be interesting. I think we're going to see, like, a lot of those visions that she saw in Age of Ultron come to fruition and that play a part. Obviously, they're going to give her more of a backstory.
Right.
And Taskmaster is going to be the main bad.
That's one of my favorite. I like that villain.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So, I mean, I'm not as hyped as for it either, but it's Marvel and it's there.
It exists. I'm going to check it out.
It's like, all right, cool.
Yeah. You ever notice that Black Sparrow does that same move all the time? She's like one of those cruiserweight wrestlers.
She always does that. Yeah, she always does the wrestling move. Black Widow always does that jump. She like where she puts her arms around your neck.
Yeah. Right.
I wouldn't mind if it was Scarlett Johansson putting her arms around my neck.
But apparently,
flipping everybody around. I feel like that's her like go-to move all the time.
Apparently, David Harbour is going to be antagonist. He's going to be playing, I guess, whatever the Russian counterpart of Captain America is in the comic book. I forget what that's called right now.
There was
Red Skull was the counterpart.
British something.
There was, I forget his name now.
Captain Britain.
Captain Britain. And they introduced him somewhere. I don't know where. I don't know if it was a TV show or they alluded to him in the end of Endgame. When she was in the past, and she was talking with in the old shield bunker.
Yeah,
she was talking
when
about
Cap, when Cap
she
saw
like
her.
Mentioned his name like Major Braddock or something like that.
Oh, okay.
I guess his last name. Yeah, she like little mention.
When was this in Endgame?
It was very subtle. Such a very subtle Easter egg. If you weren't paying attention,
When Cap saw Peggy.
Yeah, when she was in the...
He like got stuck, and he could just hear her conversation.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
He was just staring like, oh.
He was in a daze.
Oh, man. So, you know, I withhold judgment. Let's see how the movie is, right?
Yeah,
oh, no, like definitely. Definitely.
Something's got to happen in this movie that have to do with probably where the movies are going to go. You know?
If you're asking about my excitement level. My excitement level is not high.
Like a 5 out of 10?
I'll review
like
it
a 4
fairly.
Out of 10?
Yeah.
I'm not super excited about this at all.
Fair enough. Well,
but it is Marvel, so.
Your boy, the Falcon's got his own TV show on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Yeah, Falcon and Winter Soldier, that's what's coming up next. That's going to be coming out in fall 2020 on the Disney Plus streaming service. So how about that? What's about your excitement on that, Tarek?
Yeah, I'm not that excited.
No, not either?
Well, listen, I'm more excited. Well, I'm not excited about having to get Disney Plus.
Well,
no, I'm not excited about having to get it.
If you had, you know, the things that I have, Tarek, you wouldn't have these problems. You know?
I'm not going to jail with you.
Come on, man. I ain't trying to get that Bob Iger email or nah.
They're going to catch me. Anyway.
I like Anthony Mackie is
one
of my favorite characters in the whole Marvel thing. Like, I like his performance. And Winter Soldier, I find very, very interesting. Pairing it, putting them together, I'm cool with. You know, I got Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I have some lingering effects from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Like, I'm not a fan of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I didn't like it was done the first two seasons.
That's good that you brought that up because I'm going to put that together with Disney Plus and Marvel TV in a minute, a question.
Okay. Well, you're bootlegging it also.
Gotta catch me.
So, I mean, I'm curious to see what they do. Again, this is another one. If they do it really well, then cool. I think that it's going to be natural to compare these shows on Disney Plus to what Netflix did. And I'm hoping that because it's Disney that they don't take away the edge of what some of these things can have. Like, I want to see Winter Soldier kill people. You know what I mean? I know he's a hero now. I want to see him kill people, man. And, you know, Falcon, if they do the Captain America from the comic book situation, I'll be cool with that.
Right.
But we'll see. I'm a 7 out of 10 on that.
How you feel about this Falcon Winter Soldier? I think it's something that's going to be have to do with something that happens in Black Widow that comes back and creeping up into the plot of
probably
Falcon and Winter Soldier, because it seems like that's that spy, you know,
espionage
world of Marvel Cinematic Universe. You know, they're both kind of, that's why they put them together, you know.
Yeah, I think that that's,
something's gonna happen in Black Widow that Falcon and Winter Soldier gotta deal with that comes back up, you know.
Yeah, she's dead though,
and
right?
I think Taskmaster will play a part maybe in the
Black
TV
Widow's
show.
A prequel, yeah.
As far as my level of excitement, we gotta go back to like the TV show. Like, I was never a fan of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Never watched Peggy Carter, or Agent Carter. I'm just curious as to how this is going to, like, work exclusively on Disney Plus. It shouldn't be a bad move, especially since we know for sure that everything's, you know, super connected now. Before, they were, like, kind of loosely based.
Right.
On the TV shows, aside from Agent Carter. But Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you didn't see any of those guys cross over into the movies. They just addressed things that would happen in the movies.
That's right.
But this should be all right. Anthony Mackie's great. Sebastian Stan is, you know, Bucky is awesome too. It's going to be good. And I think this is a good lead off into all that Disney Plus stuff. So this is good, you know, all right, let's start it with these two guys. He's the new Cap. And, you know, I look forward to seeing
it. According to the premises that the government's not going to want Falcon to be the Captain America.
They're not going to want
him? They're not going to want him because of his ethnicity. That's the
what?
That's the
what is going
that's
on?
That's the plot of the show.
Wow,
that's what's been reported on. Yeah,
you did not. That's Black Twitter
swear.
Said that, man.
And that's actually that. If you read the Falcon when he's Captain America, that's actually one of the plots of the comic book where there's the political realm of government doesn't want him to have the shield. Yeah.
Wow.
So
okay.
I'm getting you all ready.
That's a deep dive for
I'm
Disney.
I'm warming
right
you
there,
guys
man.
Up, okay? I'm okay. Warming you guys up just in case, all right? Don't be shocked, all right? Okay. What can you lose? We're going to have some Marvel Cinematic Universe action with Falcon and Winter Soldier. And, you know, I'm pretty sure it'll be
Who the bads would be.
I don't know. They haven't really said anything about that. Like I said, maybe your Taskmaster might
I think Taskmaster might pop up.
You know what I'm saying? I think they're married there. That's why they're together. Like Black Widow and Falcon and Winter Soldier show. So then We're going back to the movies because in a date that's here, I don't know if it's correct or not, but we're going to run with it anyway. November 6, 2020, mm-hmm. Eternals, which is full of star power, apparently. All the characters are going to be doing all kinds of different characters.
You know, this is going to be happening all before, like, Thanos and all. This is like...
I don't know if there's a prequel or a result of...
I think it's a prequel. I think it's going to tell a better story of, like, Thanos.
Yeah, that's what I heard that.
Yeah.
I liked Captain Marvel, the prequel side of Captain Marvel, but I'm afraid that too much of these prequels, let's go back and this story.
I'm not going to lie.
Let's go back and tell this story. You know, it's kind of like lose some people.
I'm getting kind of exhausted as a prequel stuff.
Yeah, like I like forward momentum, you know?
Yeah, Captain Marvel wasn't good.
It wasn't bad.
It wasn't bad.
It was great.
It was good. The Eternals, you know, I hear it might be a good way to introduce mutants and all this other stuff. I personally don't care where mutants come from. You know, I like the idea that they're just, you know, just a mutation, but we'll see. When you do the space stuff, you know, it can get, we did Ego the Living Planet.
Yeah, that was a little dicey.
Yeah. When you're doing space stuff and you're doing like these all-powerful beings and celestials and stuff, it's going to get a little... Because the great thing about Marvel has been how grounded it was for the most part, you know, with the exception of Endgame and Infinity War. Most of it was pretty grounded, you know. I mean, Black Panther did eat a magical apricot.
Well, you know, it's magic. And can we say there's magic? There's Doctor Strange. There's other universes.
Yeah, but they do it as a thing of like manipulating energy, but... If we get too far out, like Doctor Strange probably as far out as I want them to go.
Start talking about Doctor Strange soon. Let's get through this rundown first. I reserve judgment for Eternals. I'm sure it's going to have something to do with their bigger narrative, so I'm down for it.
Angelina Jolie's in it.
Yeah.
What's the old boy from ATL is going to be in it? Ryan Tyree.
See, this is why I bring you guys on the show, because I forget.
Yeah. What's the dude from ATL?
The dude from ATL, the cousin.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
He
was also in Child's Play.
Yeah, the rapper.
He's the rapper in ATL. Yeah, Brian Tyree, so I forgot.
Yes.
All right, okay. So Eternals, that's in November, so it's not a summer temple. Mm-hmm. So
should be all right.
If it's bad, I guess, oh, well.
Yeah.
No, it's good. I think, like I said, they're going to get more cosmic-y
with
these next some of these movies. And then, I think Tarek had it right. I think they're going to introduce like where mutants are going to come from.
Right. Talking about the mutants, how they're going to introduce them. Remember, I put you onto that comic book.
Yeah, and I did buy it.
Did you read it?
I did read it.
Yeah,
it was pretty interesting. It's not bad.
Just to catch you up, Tarek. I forgot the name, the writer's name, but they Marvel comic book. Now we're talking about the comic books. Okay. Uh-huh. They came out with this new comic book called Powers of X. So they're kind of like not retelling the narrative of X-Men of the comic book. But they're reintroducing the lore of X-Men, and they're showing like different teams throughout the decades of future and past and different universes, something like that, right?
It was trippy.
Like different things that happened. Like they show like the Days of Future Past lineup. Yeah. They show like the 90s lineup. They show like the future 10 more years in the future lineup, another 10 more years in the future lineup, you know? And they're showing how they're all interconnected, whatever. Okay. Other stories, whatever.
It's interesting how they introduced Professor X to like right in the beginning of the comic, like he has these powers and nobody like knows it.
Yeah,
and like, he's just sitting down at a carnival and some chick just pulls up next to him on the bench and it's like, I know who you are.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the comic book's pretty interesting. Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
It's nuts.
There's one part where Moira MacTaggert is introduced as a mutant this time, and she keeps getting reborn. By a different, I don't know if by the same, or she has to live the same life over and over again to try and fix what happens to the mutants.
Okay.
So, like, and then she finally remembers, like, all her past lives, and she goes and tells Xavier, hey, this is what, you did this, and this happened. You did this, and this happened. You did this, and this happened.
Okay.
So, it could get controversial. I know you don't like that. But it's a comic book, so.
Yeah, I understand.
And I have a feeling that since they're already introducing the multiple universe and stuff like that, this is how they're going to use. They're going to use something that works maybe in the comic book, this retelling, into this reintroduction of the mutants in this Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Okay.
That's the speculation in the nerd world.
Did you start that speculation, Speedy?
No,
that
that's the speculation in our world. That's why the book is selling so much, because everybody's buying it, thinking they're going to have hot commodities when when they finally make the movies.
All right.
Yeah.
Nice. So, glad I brought, thanks for putting me on the comic, too.
Yeah, you see?
Might, hopefully it'll be worth something.
Yeah. I will see. it was already $6. The guy in the Comic-Con was also
$6. Yeah, it was $6.
Oh, yeah, that's it?
Yeah.
That's nothing.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know. Come on, they're like to throw $4, you know. Yeah. It's like a, well, it was a variant cover. I think that was the one, only one he had. Yeah.
Resale anyway, prices, man.
So the next movie is Shang-Chi. That is February 12th.
Is it called Legend of the Ten Rings?
Yes, it is a Legend of the Ten Rings. They're going to introduce finally the Mandarin.
Finally.
The real Mandarin in this movie.
And not introduce Ben him Kingsley.
Yeah. And I guess they wanted to introduce him in a proper Asian lore.
Yeah.
Without, you know, so they wouldn't get, you know, criticized.
Did you ever see the Thor Dark World mini movie that was in the DVD?
There was a mini movie?
Yeah, it's actually, you can YouTube it. And it shows Ben Kingsley back as a Mandarin. Like, well, he's in jail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's like the celebrity because, you know, people always thought he was mistaken for the Mandarin. And he got all this notoriety. And so all these guys in jail were like happy to be around him and protecting him. And
yeah, that's what's up.
He was living life in prison. And then he gets interviewed by someone of the Ten Rings.
Right.
Well, he doesn't know he's part of the Ten Rings. So until, like, dude just, like, you know, flips the whole script and, like, holds the gun to his head and says, you know, you took his name and he wants his name back.
Oh,
it's crazy. Okay. You can watch it on YouTube. I don't want to spoil too much, but.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I did. I just see that little mini.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I did see
I'm going to check that out.
Yeah, check that out. You'll like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Shang-Chi. Of course, this is the kung fu lore, and I know you guys are not fans of the Iron Fist stuff, but this touches all the Iron Fist stuff. This movie.
Well, I'm here for Shang-Chi. I'm more excited about this than I am Black Widow, Winter Soldier, and.
So, if they introduce some Iron Fist stuff, you're still on board or what?
I just didn't like that. I didn't like the guy playing Iron Fist.
Yeah,
I'm okay with the lore.
Yeah,
you know, the hand and all that.
Yeah, because there's multiple Iron Fists throughout time.
Yeah, and whatever, they're casting somebody who's knows what they're doing. You know, so I got a good feeling that it'll be a, you know, a solid action flick. I'm there with it. I kind of like some of the movies that are further away from, like, tying everything in together. I like some of these movies that are like, okay, yeah, we're in this world, but this is not all tied into Avengers stuff. So I'm here for Shang-Chi. Shang-Chi?
Yeah, Shang-Chi.
I'm here for it.
So everybody who's watching the video recording of this, your videos just went out because the great internet here at Beasley Broadcasting just went out. So
we're
only audio right now. It's okay. So you guys can pick your nose and do whatever. Right?
Oh, good. Perfect.
Yeah. And I'm going to try and fix you while we're continuing with the show here. Yeah. But, you know, I apologize for anybody seeing the feed.
Shang-Chi, I'm really hyped for. It was like when I was curious to see what, like, Ant-Man was going to look like. And I ended up really liking it.
Mm-hmm.
I think Shang-Chi is going to, you know, do exactly that. And I'm just glad that, like, the Ten Rings, like, they're tying that into the whole thing, too, because that's actually been, you know, been around for some time since, what, Iron Man 2? Or Iron Man 3, I mean?
Yeah.
So, Shang-Chi's going to be dope. And they got one of, like, the really good martial arts guys in the game, I guess, right now?
Yeah.
Playing him. Awkwafina is going to be in it, too. That should be interesting.
Who's that now?
Awkwafina, that chick. she was in the rich Asians movie.
Oh, okay, okay,
Was it Crazy Rich Asians?
Yeah, Crazy Rich Asians. Yeah,
yeah. She's funny as hell. So that's gonna be cool.
Interesting.
I'm excited to see some kung fu in in Marvel.
Yeah, that's I'm hyped about that.
All right. So then we get into the weird stuff.
Yeah, let's get weird.
All right. WandaVision starts spring 2021 into Disney Plus. Okay. And that's when we start getting wild and crazy.
Yeah.
And this is what what Tarek is afraid of. You know, Wanda does lose her mind in the comic book. Just to give anybody who haven't read any comic books, Wanda, Scarlet Witch, does lose her mind. She, like, eliminates, like, almost 90% of the mutants one time because she has reality-altering powers.
Yeah.
Or whatever. She also is a trained witch, but it's like, you know, in the Doctor Strange world, stuff like that. So she has magic powers as well, you know, or access to magic and stuff. So it's one of those super powered characters, you know. Plus she's a mutant, all that stuff. So she does a lot of crazy stuff. Like, she destroys, like, Avengers HQ in one comic book where they were, like, all disassembled and stuff like that. Yeah, she, like, brought made like nightmares for all the Avengers and everything.
Yeah.
And like, and I think somebody actually died. Like, I think Ant-Man died in that, in the comic book world. Yeah.
Well, in the MCU, she was able to eliminate her accent. That was one of her abilities.
Yeah. So apparently she's going to make like different multiple universes of where actually Vision is alive or something like that. Or she's going to, I guess, mess up reality. Because the following movie, after that show, the following movie, which is, mind the title, okay? Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness.
And what's that now?
That's the following movie after the WandaVision show.
Okay.
So, what do you think about that? Obviously, this is both are connected, okay?
Doctor Strange is allowed to do that.
I'm okay with that. Doctor Strange is the weird stuff.
Yeah, you know? He's allowed to do that.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I'm more excited about Doctor. I'm probably most excited about Doctor Strange than I am about any of the other films.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's the golden child right there. Lineup.
I think the actor playing him can hold him. You know, his personality and everything can hold that movie. You know, you've lost Cap and you lost Tony, so you got to have some personalities that can hold movies really well. And I think Doctor Strange is that personality.
Interesting.
Along with Wong. You know,
yeah, Wong's cool.
Wong, I really like Wong, and I kind of want to see if they do the Mordo. Yeah, Mordo. I want to see if he comes back.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah,
I would thought he would be the bad in this movie.
Yeah,
but I mean, he still could be.
Right.
But I heard Nightmare is going to be the main bad in this one.
Yeah,
interesting.
And this is going to be cool because now, WandaVision is probably going to be tied into Multiverse of Madness because she's actually going to be in the movie.
Yeah.
With Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So they're probably going to take on some wild.
It's going to be wild. Stuff. That's all I can say.
So WandaVision is going to be in Disney Plus or is it going to be a film?
It's going to be Disney Plus.
Disney Plus.
Okay.
So you're going to have to go through maybe 8 episodes of that.
Yeah.
It's crazy because that's what, spring 2021.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at.
And
then
it's going to like.
Then.
And that's in May 7th, Doctor Strange.
So it's going to be literally back to back almost.
Yeah, it's going to be cool. So I think.
Like pregame with WandaVision, then you'll see the movie.
And I think there'll be a cliffhanger in WandaVision that will lead into.
I kind of like the way they're doing this.
Well, they are giving us a bit of a break.
Yeah.
Which I think we need from all the superhero stuff.
Right.
For a little while. Giving us a bit of a break. But I'm here for Doctor Strange. I think that's going to be one of the linchpin characters, you know, because he's going to be all over the place. He connects to everything. So I'm there for that. WandaVision, we'll see. We'll see what they do.
See what they do. All right, so the next, talking about multi-universes, Loki, spring 2021 on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Because, of course, this is his adventures becoming a hero, because he's still kind of a, you know, mischievous villain.
Yeah.
When he disappears with the Tesseract in Endgame.
Yeah.
So I guess this show's about that.
Yeah, it follows him.
Yeah, him going through different timelines and just trying to figure out what the heck's going on.
Yeah. Does anybody remember when they did, remember the show What's Happening?
Yeah.
And they did What's Happening Now?
Yeah.
That's what this Loki show's going to be. Do we need What's Happening? We already found out what was happening.
Oh,
and now we're going to do What's Happening Now. I think they're just kind of capitalize off of a very popular character.
Yeah.
It can be good. It's Marvel. So it can end up being very good. It's just, I don't see why.
I think they're trying to do right by Tom Hiddleston because he was like, he originally tried for the Thor role.
Did he?
Yeah. I've seen the auditions.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't bad.
Okay.
I mean, Chris Hemsworth. It's Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah. He's large and British.
Yeah, large, British, muscular.
Yeah.
He's,
I reserve judgment. I don't know. We'll see. I'll check it out.
Yeah, it's going to be cool.
It's going to be cool. But then the next one is another Disney Plus show. I guess it's animated, ladies
and gentlemen. Yeah,
it is. So this one's going to be animated. It's called the What If series.
Okay, so I've been hearing about
it's gonna
this.
It's going to be animated.
Yeah.
And that's going to be this summer of 2021 on the Disney Plus.
Yeah. I have a lot of what ifs.
Yeah.
I already have what ifs in my head.
Yeah. I have a lot of what ifs about all these Marvel movies. But this is going to be cool. All the actors are actually going to come back through their voices.
Let's do a what if.
What if Thor went for the head?
What if Thor went for the head? What if.
What if.
What's his name from Guardians of the Galaxy?
Didn't hit homie across the head.
Didn't.
A lot of these what ifs are from Infinity War.
Yeah.
So we're looking forward to that. Then we got Hawkeye, which is another Disney Plus show in fall 2021. I guess that's just going to introduce
Kate Bishop.
Kate Bishop, as the new Hawkeye.
Is that that's going to be animated or it's going to be?
That's going to be live action, apparently. And I guess it's Jeremy Renner's Clint Barton. Yeah,
yeah. Clint's going to train her and.
He's cool with TV shows. Like I remember, where was another TV show that I saw him on?
Jeremy Renner.
Yeah, Jeremy Renner. Yeah, I'm he was sure. Actually pretty good. I don't remember what TV show it was.
Oh, Jeremy Renner's a great actor.
Yeah, he's a great actor. But he was in some TV show before, you know, becoming what he is now. Big. As far as big. Yeah,
he was probably. And, I think he was one of the boyfriends on the Friends or something like that.
I don't remember what it was, but it wasn't like an action one. It was just like normal acting. Maybe it was a CSI show or one of those police Law shows Order. Or something. Law and Order. You know, I don't remember something like that. But, you know, he's got chops, man. So,
he's good. I think he was on What's Happening Now.
One of my favorite movies by him is actually Hurt Locker.
I think Hawkeye's going to be the version of Batman Beyond that the DC people have been wanting, but in version of Hawkeye, you know? The old Hawkeye. Yeah. Come on, Kate.
I'm
for the head.
From now on, do the rest of the show in that voice. Yeah. That's speedy. That is amazing, dude. That is amazing.
Nah, I can't do it. So then we go back to the movie theater. With Thor, Love, and Thunder, that's November 5th, 2021.
Okay.
And already announced.
Yeah. And what's her name's coming back, too? Natalie Portman.
Natalie Portman has already been announced to be the new Thor, which is already established in the comic.
Is she going to be the Thor, or is she going to be Thor momentarily in the film?
Thor Light?
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, everyone's saying she's going to. But I know, you know, we do a lot of times, we say, well, they did this in the comics, that they're going to do it in the movies. They do not. They do not do in the movies what they did in the comics.
That's going to come back to my other topic before I call in. We got an interview today, actually. If you guys can stick around for that, I know some of you can't, but
I'm here for it. I'm here for Thor.
Yeah. I'm down. It's especially Takiti. What is his name? His last name? Forget his name. Last name now.
Don't make me sound racist. Takiti. I'm about to say his last name. I'm about to say Takiti Watu, and I don't think that's it.
Yeah, well, that's close.
Takiti Watiti. I don't know. He's a great actor. He's a great actor, and he's a great director.
Yeah, he plays
Korg.
Korg in the
And it was great. It was funny.
Taika Watiti.
Taika Watiti. Yeah, there you go. Thank you, Joey Franchise, for your internet research in front of you. So my computer's doing all kinds of multiple things at the same time right now. So. We're looking forward to that. That's going to be great. A good lineup, decent lineup, entertaining lineup. Okay.
It's so much Disney Plus.
It is. Yeah. Because they want you to buy.
I know.
It's everything's a business. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, it's a business, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm not mad at them. But it's just, if I was DC Universe, I'm like, man,
we messed up.
Are we allowing this to happen?
Yep.
Yeah. We're powerful, Warner Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
It's not cutting it.
It's crazy. And they own all their characters.
Yeah.
So then we had a future Blade movie announced, or at least the character is going to be introduced somewhere.
Yes. Well, no, I think they're doing a Blade movie. They're redoing a movie. Yeah.
They're going to introduce him somewhere.
I'm trying to figure out how they're going to introduce vampires.
Probably in Doctor Strange.
Somewhere,
yeah.
He didn't just go loose.
Yeah.
Multiverse.
Mm-hmm. See, this is a big Blade fan.
You think Blade will come from the multiverse?
Oh, he could.
Possible.
They've done a bunch
of
vampire.
They said that Doctor Strange is going to be like a very, it's very scary.
It's going to be a horror movie.
They've done a bunch of variants of vampire stuff in the Marvel Universe, you know. I wouldn't mind if Blade was not part. You know, like a part of me feels like you can do stuff and not have it tie into anything.
Yeah.
We saw how successful they tied in the Netflix shows, but it wasn't like heavy tie-in. It was like mentions. I would be happy. I'll be okay if Blade was like that. Like, I don't need to see Blade and Wanda running around together. I just want to see Blade and Morbius, maybe, you know, some
that'd
of these
be
other
dope.
Characters.
Yeah. And that'd be cool to see, like, Spider-Man kind of...
Yeah, if he popped up, you know.
Cross over into that.
Right.
Yeah.
Like it did in the TV show.
I think it'd be cool.
But Marshall Ali, I like him. He's good. He's a good actor.
And it's crazy. I didn't think about that. Like, damn, like, who... Like, you think Blade, you think Wesley Snipes.
Yeah,
it's like, Marshall Ali is, like...
Yeah, I think if they don't include Wesley Snipes some way, I think some people are going to
riot. Here's my prediction. Wesley Snipes is Whistler.
I like it.
I like that idea.
I like that idea.
Joe be coming up with the dopest ideas. Yeah. We got to get you in the room.
In front of Kevin.
Feige, man. Let's check out.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
some ideas, my man. I got ideas.
And last but not least, they announced some kind of Fantastic Four movie sometime in the future.
Yeah. Well, I think he's saving that. I think they're saving those big announcements for D23 in a couple weeks.
Yeah. Well, so, that they were saying that they weren't going to do anything with X-Men at least for like 3 years.
Yeah, because they messed that whole thing up with Dark Phoenix.
I like Dark Phoenix.
They ruined it.
Man, supposedly they lost a lot of money.
They lost a lot.
That they took a hit in their earnings for the year, like their quarterly earnings.
Yeah.
You know more about this, Terry, because you work in the sales
office. Yeah. They so what they did was they bought the property, and then they started spending money on the advertising. So they actually they lost in their predictions.
Yeah.
The movie overall, I think it made like – profit $57 million or something like that, but they predicted it to make more. So it threw their quarterly Disney's quarterly offerings off. But I think you know, once it got sold, it was like people were like, "Well, I'll just wait."
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'll just wait till Disney does it. I don't know.
So.
I'm never going to be excited about a Fantastic Four movie.
Ever?
No.
Would you be more excited about Fantastic Four Disney Plus show?
No. I just think Fantastic Four is corny.
Really?
And some people get really mad at me. But listen, Captain America.
Okay. You don't like it. Your cup of tea is not your cup of tea.
Captain America was corny to me.
Yeah?
Just in a comic book. Just in the
I only
comic
like
book.
Captain America when he was in the Avengers. I never liked Captain America too much as a standalone
Captain
comic book.
Captain America
that
was never cool to me until they did Civil War.
Yeah, because he wasn't wearing his helmet like that.
Yeah, right. That was the only time when he was like, they made him a little more edgy, you know, Dark Avengers and all that stuff.
Right.
That's when he became cool. But all the other Captain America stuff, I wasn't really, he was just so like wholesome. I was not there for it. That's Fantastic Four is kind of like that. It's just like, you know, the old New York cabbie voice of the Thing and the pretty boy Johnny Storm. Ah.
So while I call in my interview, I know some of you guys got to run. I know Joey's got to run. He's got to go and be in the air.
Yeah.
And then Terry's got to do his, you know, acting stuff.
Yeah.
But we're going to be talking with Marco Lopez. He won a Eisner Award for that Puerto Rico Strong. Remember that one of those first interviews we had when we started the show?
Yes.
He actually won an Eisner for that at a Comic-Con, the San Diego Comic-Con.
Very cool.
For Best Anthology. So we're going to have him on the show because he's actually working on a brand new project, which is more, you know, more sci-fi and fantasy called Strange Encounters.
Okay.
So I'm going to talk to him a little bit about that. He's got a Kickstarter going on and stuff like that. So I'm going to call him now, but I'm going to pose a question before you guys leave is we already had Marvel TV and now we have Disney Plus, okay? Do you think that Disney is doing right by everything that they did for Marvel Television? The time that you invested in anything on Marvel Television, and now you got to reinvest now in Disney Plus. Do you think it's proper? Do you think they're gonna make it good somehow with us, with some characters maybe, or maybe not? Or do you think that they're just like there's a wall between what they do for the Marvel TV ABC stuff like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and what they're gonna do for Disney Plus, and then they're not gonna cross that line? What do you think?
I think they're definitely gonna cross the line. I don't know about the Netflix people. Characters.
A lot of equity in some of at least Daredevil. There's a lot of equity because there's a lot of characters that are involved in Spider-Man's mythology.
Yeah. I just don't know if they're going to. That may be a little too, at this point, too soon, too iconic.
Yeah.
From Netflix. I definitely think the S.H.I.E.L.D. stuff, and you're going to see Ghost Rider and some of those other characters that popped up in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I honestly don't think they care. Listen, if you're Disney, you have Marvel and ABC and ESPN.
Right.
It's like, all right, well, what are y'all going to do? You know, you're gonna get the product. I'm getting the product. Speedy, you're going to illegally download it. I'm going to get it. I'm going to get the product. So
you just want me to tell you how it is?
Yeah. I don't think they're overly concerned about the consumer at this point because look, all the movies we said, the shows we're not necessarily crazy interested in, but we're still going to see it.
Right. Yeah.
So at the end of the day, we're still going to go see it. So.
And they're gonna do right by us. It's gonna be a lot of fan service with these Disney Plus shows. I think they're gonna need to have to, not only just because they have, you know, these high profile actors in these movies, but you know the fact that they're gonna be super connected and lead into the next film somehow, some way.
Yeah,
right.
It's they're gonna do right by it. It's not gonna be like an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. situation where you actually don't necessarily have to watch the show. To kind of, you know, understand the movies.
Yeah. Right.
This is, I think you're going to need to watch everything of, like, these TV shows to kind of know what's going on in the movies.
And very cool.
It's a smart move on their end because they've already built such a great, they built great stories and they've integrated them, you know, like, perfect with, you know, all the other, they, you know, intertwine all the movies together and now they're doing it with the TV shows. Right. Pretty good fan service.
Yeah.
All right. I just wish they make good on their promise that it's, everything's connected. That's all.
Oh yeah, you know, no, this is definitely connected. You cannot unconnect that.
I don't mind. I don't mind if they, like, as long as they, like, maybe in Shang-Chi they throw a little little Easter egg to maybe some Iron Fist stuff. You know, they don't have to have him come out, and, you know, and all that stuff. But, you know, just show us that, you know, that you cared about some stuff that you got us involved in. You know what I mean? Yeah. Maybe a little Easter egg to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Maybe, you know, here and there. You know, I don't know. You know,
I never liked Agents.
No one watches Agents.
I know, not anymore. This season is wild. I couldn't get into it.
Yeah, I heard it got really. I heard it got good as like the seasons went on. But yeah. I was lost after the first two episodes. Yeah.
You know what y'all want to see? I want to see Fim Fam Foom.
You might get that, but the problem is he's tied in with another movie. No, well, he's tied in with something in Universal. I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't think they could use that character. There, I read something about that.
Wow. We need another Hulk movie.
We do need another Hulk movie.
I wish Universal could play nice and do. Yeah. I want Red Hulk.
You'll be surprised what money.
I would love to see Red Hulk.
You'll be surprised what money does with companies. You know?
Yeah, I know that.
And look at.
I need Thunderbolt Ross turn into Red Hulk, man.
That might happen. That just might happen.
He needs to. He's been popping up a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, and what are they going to do with Venom? Like, I really liked the Sony Venom.
We'll see.
But I wonder.
We'll see.
Andy Serkis.
Yeah.
Is directing the next Venom movie.
Is really?
Yeah. So. I'm really excited for that. Carnage will be the bad, so... Yeah.
I got Marco Lopez here on the line. Marco, can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Oh, yes, we can. Great. I just wanted to test you real quick before we get into your part of the interview, okay? So you hang tight, all right?
Yeah.
What do you think about all this Disney Plus stuff? You think they're going to make good with everybody who's invested time in the Marvel TV stuff? Or you think they're just going to put a line in the sand, draw a line in the sand and move on? What do you think, Marco?
Oh, that was to me.
Yeah. It's okay. Yeah. What do you think?
What was the question again? Sorry.
Disney's working on the Disney Plus stuff for the Marvel, all the different shows that they got that they have coming soon, and they kind of like looks like they just like abandoned Marvel Television, the Netflix stuff. You know, Cloak and Dagger, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is just, you know. That they're around, you know what I mean?
Do you think
they're going to make good, or they're gonna draw a line in the sand and just move on?
I think they're going to draw a line in the sand. I don't think Kevin Feige ever liked the television side because he never had, you know, because when it started, it was without his control.
Right.
So I don't think he's happy with the idea of what they've done.
Yeah.
And I think that's why they're doing those miniseries, like the Scarlet Witch one and, you know, the Captain America and Falcon. I think that's him basically saying, like, yeah, we can do everything you can do, but better.
Wow. You think the beef is like that? Like, it's that big?
I mean, there's that whole talk of Fahey and Perlmutter. You know, they don't like each other very much, and he didn't want Perlmutter involved with the film stuff, and, you know, and he wrestled control away from Perlmutter of that. And then he's like, you guys can just do your TV stuff and, you know, leave us alone. And honestly, I think there's, you know, I don't know if it's bad blood just because he doesn't like Perlmutter or because of Perlmutter's politics, or Kevin Feige, you know, some creative people, because you got to give Feige, you know, that because he has been involved in all these movies and, you know, and shaping this world with the directors and all that. So he is involved on a creative level to an extent. You know, some creative people are just very controlling,
right.
You know, like. So I could see him, you know, the Marvel brand, the way he thinks of it is probably the way Pixar thinks of their brand. So to him, the TV stuff might be an eyesore to him, you know, since it's not done the way he wants it done.
Right. Interesting. So, Marco, we're going to move on to you, and we're going to talk about your Kickstarter. And congratulations on your Eisner Award for Puerto Rico Strong, first off.
Thank you.
How did you feel, man, when you found out that you... That's like the Grammys for comic book writers, you know, and comic book industry as a whole, you know? So how did you feel when you found out you were a winner?
It was crazy because it was late in the morning. I wasn't there at the San Diego Comic-Con, but one of the other editors was.
Yeah.
But me and two of the other editors, Neil and Derek, they live in New York. So I was talking to them online, and then we're also watching it go down on social media because they don't air. They don't do like a live, like, you know, YouTube or, you know, they don't do like a broadcast for the San Diego, for the Eisners, even though it's like supposed to be like the Oscars, the Grammys of comics, you know, and in a digital age that we live in, they could easily do a broadcast so that everyone can watch it, but they don't.
Right.
So we just, there's different people like Comixology and this other company, Fanbase Press, that's a publisher and a news site. They were doing live updates. And so I was just going back and forth between Comixology and Fanbase Press and, you know, talking to Neil and Derek, and the whole time I'm thinking like, okay, like this thing started at like 10 o'clock our time, you know, 10 or 11 our time. And then, you know, California 3 hours behind. So I'm like, you know, they'll get to our award in the first 20 minutes. And then it's like, all right, done, found out whether I lost or won and I can move on and, you know, get to bed. Like the first 20 minutes passes and it's like, okay, they haven't announced our award. And then the next 40 minutes passes and it's like, maybe they forgot about our award. Then 2 hours in, we're like, dear God, we just want to go to sleep. Is our award going to get announced or not? And literally five, because the thing was supposed to end like, I think 1:45 our time. And so, but they had like five more awards to go after ours. So then Chip Zdarsky won his award, I think, for Spider-Man, or a Spider-Man story he did, I forget. And then, so I saw somebody had posted on Twitter a screenshot of the pamphlet. And I was like, oh, we're after him. Thank God. So I can go to sleep. And then I was just sitting there like, oh, God, if I lost, I'm going to be a little mad just because, like, I stayed up so late for no reason. And then I saw Twitter refresh itself. And it's like, winner, Puerto Rico strong, you know, editors, et cetera, you know, our name, the five editors. And I, like, slammed my hand down on the table. And I was like, oh, you know, and I cursed. I was like, this is amazing. And I started talking to Neil and Derek. And then you get this adrenaline rush. And then I'm posting on Facebook, posting on Twitter. And then people are congratulating me. And I'm just like, and it was just, I didn't get to sleep until like 4 in the morning because I was filled with so much adrenaline. I was just like, I can't go to sleep. I don't know what to do.
Dope. You could turn on your video, man, if you want, unless you're, you know, not decent.
Because I only have like one light on, it's looking like dark in here.
Oh, it's fine.
Like,
don't worry. Nothing's professional here.
I can see my. Let me try turning on another light. Hold on, because I have a second light source. It might.
Oh, don't worry.
Lighten things up in here. I got a bunch of stuff on the bed behind me.
I hear you.
Let me turn it off.
What I wanted to talk to you about was your Kickstarter. Of course, what we're really excited about. All right, there you are. See. There you go. Perfect, man. So welcome to the show for the third time, because we did talk. We talked at the Comic-Con, the Tampa Comic-Con. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I made you really big. We talked on the Tampa Comic-Con, and then we did – what else did we do? Oh, yeah. We did the first one when you emailed the radio station and we got you on. And then Tampa Comic-Con when you were over there with the Luchaverse. You wrote that. You helped with that. Talk a little bit about the Luchaverse before we move on to your Kickstarter.
So the Luchaverse was a partnership between Cheeto Comics, which is owned by Ivan Plaza. He's a comic book publisher.
Right.
And basically, it was a deal between him and Mass Republic. They're a brand that deals with wrestlers, a lot of luchadors, you know, Mexican wrestlers and stuff like that. And they deal with, like, you know, for people that know wrestling, they deal with like Rey Mysterio and, Lucha Bros and, Conan and a bunch of other people. And they, you know, wanted to do this world. Basically, kind of like, you know, because luchadors are basically superheroes. So they kind of like wanted to do the whole Marvel DC thing.
Yeah.
So they went to, because Ivan had previous success doing that for El Rey. He used to work at El Rey and he did that with their whole Lucha Underground. You know, they had the Lucha Underground show and they did a bunch of Lucha Underground comics. You know, sort of like telling you what goes on when you're not watching, you know, Lucha Underground.
Right.
So basically, Mass Republic wanted, you know, something similar, but, you know, Marvel DC type thing. Ivan chose me to work with him on it. We basically created the whole world, you know, backstory. You know, we did the whole Jack Kirby, Stan Lee type thing.
Yeah, I read some of them. It was very, they're very entertaining. They're very good, especially if you're a fan of wrestling.
Yeah.
And a fan of Rey Mysterio and all that, you know, all that Mexican wrestling. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
We did five one-shots, and we treated them like, you know, superhero stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of like Fast and Furious meets, you know, Rey Mysterio.
Yeah, you know, the Conan one was, you know, played up more like G.I. Joe. The Super Astro and Solar was more played like, you know, 50s, you know, superheroes.
Right.
Very over the top, like when Superman could move planets and all that. You know, we had Tinieblas Jr. that was like Hellboy. And then we had the Lucha Brothers, which was inspired by like Street Fighter and Streets of Rage and Final Fight and all that.
Yeah.
And then we had Rey Mysterio, and he's kind of like, you know, the Captain America type with powers, you know, that he eventually gets. And he's like sort of like the epitome of the whole thing. And there's like, you know, we did this whole like, because there's been other Rey Mysterios, and there was the first mask of the first Rey Mysterio, and he finds it and it grants him powers and all this stuff. So we did very classic-y pulp, you know, Kirby, Stan Lee stuff, and they did very well. Lucha Brothers sold out. A bunch of the books sold out. The trade paperback and the limited edition hardcover comes out this fall.
Nice.
That's going to get announced, I think, this weekend. I think the date of when it's coming out is going to get announced this weekend at Lucha Expo, and I think Vegas or something like that.
Great. So now Eisner winner Marco Lopez, who has to sign my Puerto Rico Strong book eventually one of these days. The new project, the new Kickstarter, which I'm going to show some people watching the video right now, which is The Strange Encounters. Tell me how this came about and why.
Years ago, maybe like 2 or 3 years ago, probably like three.
Yeah.
When I first met Derek, I think was or is still the publisher for Dabble Brothers. Dabble Brothers is the company that, like, you know, they pioneered the whole thing back in the, I think, late 90s, early 2000s of, like, adapting novels into comics, like popular novels, like Anita Blake and, you know, George R. R. Martin stuff before George R. R. Martin was, you know, known before everybody knew who George R. R. Martin was, you know, the creator of, you know, Game of Thrones and all that.
Right.
You know, so they pioneered that whole thing of adapting popular novels, you know, that had huge fan bases that, you know, they knew like, hey, these are the type of things that comic book fans would love too. And so they worked with like, you know, Image and I believe it was Image and Dynamite and Marvel. And, you know, they, you know, did that whole thing and it made it really popular. You know, so Derek like worked with them and, you know, other publishers. And a few years ago when I was becoming friends with him, he was telling me about this project that he wanted to do, you know, which was similar, but taking these newish authors. I don't want to say new because they put out a lot of books.
Right.
But but then they have like these rabid fan bases and they do what's called in horror prose. It's like a subgenre called paranormal romance. And the only reason they call it paranormal romance is because women write the books. So if women write supernatural books, it's called paranormal romance. Unlike if a man writes a supernatural book, it's just called a cool horror novel. So he knew all these authors and he wanted to do this anthology where it's like it would include original stories that weren't adapted from any book. And then it would include stories adapted from these, you know, these popular indie novels. I guess you could say these women are like independent prose novelists. And then basically, you know, do that whole thing that he did with, you know, when he with Dabble Brothers, you know, bridging the gap between prose and comic books and, you know, showing the prose audience, you know, how awesome this is in comic books and then, you know, showing comic books, you know, these genres and stories they might know about. And they're just doing it in all comics and just doing a really cool horror, you know, anthology. You know, we call it Strange Encounters. If this one's a success, the second volume will be called something else. I don't remember the names.
Okay.
Derek does. There's two original stories in it that I wrote, and then the four other are adapted from the from the ladies that are involved from their novels.
Ah, okay. So cool. So it's a little association with their stories in this anthology.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's cool. That brings their fans to the table, right?
Yep. You know, and that's the plan. It's kind of like, you know, that bridging the gap. Because, I mean, if you look at the landscape of novels and the landscape of comics, the only difference is that one's with pictures and the other one's not with pictures. So right. It's pretty much everything you find in novels, you also find in comics. And everything you find in comics, you find in novels. Even now,
yeah, absolutely.
A lot of stuff that's popping up in novels, you see a lot of, like, superhero novels popping up and not based on Marvel DC stuff, like mm-hmm. original superhero novels. So, you know, there's a very big cross-pollination, we believe, with the audiences there.
Cool, cool. So this Kickstarter, it says here you got about 24 days to go, and mm-hmm. you're still a little away from the goal. So go ahead and invite everyone to go back your project so we can have this great product out for them to read and enjoy.
So you want me to do like a pitch thing?
Yeah. tell them, hey, go to the Kickstarter.com. Is there a specific domain that I can go to besides the?
No, that's one of those things. I don't know. I think I'm trying to figure out how to do, you know, like a lot of people have a domain
yeah,
where
like,
you
to,
click on it and mm-hmm. it just takes you.
Yeah, just so forward it. Yeah.
We didn't do that. We probably should have did that.
Come on, Marco. Let's talk after the show. We'll help you out, okay? Don't worry.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, go to Kickstarter.com.
Yeah.
You know, type in the search engine Strange Encounters and immediately pops up. You know,
that'll
like
work.
The first one that pops up. We're the only thing on there called Strange Encounters.
I have it up on the screen here. So if somebody wants to just, you know, try and copy the link there. And I'll actually put this link in the bio of the description of this podcast. So anybody could just, you know, copy, paste it or click on it. Okay.
No problem.
All right. And then so you got two stories in here. You got multiple stories. How many stories total are going to be in the Strange Encounters? Hopefully, when it's all said and done,
it's six stories.
Yeah, six.
It's
okay.
Going to be in this first volume.
Perfect.
You know, so they're very any type. They're all supernatural horror type stories. You know, anybody. You know, whether you're a guy, woman. You know, all stuff that you're gonna love. That's, you know, gory action.
Yeah.
You know, that type of stuff. You know, anything you've seen in the action horror movie. Anything you've seen in Blade, Hellboy, Buffy, all that type of stuff. You know, it's like that. The one of the what we call the wraparound story is an original creation, because this is also the debut of our label, King Skull Comics.
Ah, very good. Yes.
Is what we're going to be doing, like creator owned stuff through. Dope. And so in this volume is also the debut of an original creation. And she's called Izzy DeSoto. And she's this Puerto Rican who's been around for like 150, 200 years. And she's basically immortal. What she does is, you know, she hunts monsters. You know, she's like a monster hunter.
Right.
You know, and that's what she does, and she's been doing it for a long time. So the cover of the anthology, it's her in the 80s. And then the story is going to be so that cover is basically the kind of like the beginning of the story, because basically when you her story is going to be the bookend. So it's going to start off, and then you're going to go into the other stories, and then it's going to end. And her story takes place in Louisiana. And so it starts off from where that cover starts off, and then it continues into there. And she's basically this character that exists across, you know, all decades, because she's lived for so long. And we wanted to create a, you know, Puerto Rican badass, you know, action female monster hunting type character.
I like it.
And, you know, and put her out into the world. And the great thing is, she's been around for so long, we could play it, you know, 30s, 50s, late 1800s, you know.
Right.
We don't have to set it in one timeline.
Yeah, I like it. Definitely down board for that. Okay. So drop everything so they can follow you in case they can't figure out how to go to Kickstarter and type in the search.
Twitter. Yeah. My Twitter is at Atomic Rex, AtomicRext, ENT for entertainment. So that's me on Twitter. On Facebook, I just have a regular Facebook page. So if you find Marco Lopez and friend
request
me.
Holding your Eisner, hopefully.
Well, yeah, technically it is. It's when I did those jokes pictures when the word finally came in.
I saw that.
So that's my, you'll see me holding the Eisner, or you'll see my banner is for the Kickstarter. You'll see it, you know, it says pre-order now on Kickstarter, Strange Encounters. So you really can't miss me. But yeah, you know, you can also follow, you know, King Skull Comics. It's at King Skull Comics, on Twitter. It's the same on, Instagram. I'm not on Instagram. I only do two social medias. I don't need to do more than that. and follow us there. Check it out on Kickstarter. I think it's so far, you know, we've done pretty, you know, I think we've only been out for 6 days with 20, like you said, 24 more to go. And we've done about 35% of our goal.
Great.
In 6 days. So that's not bad considering.
Yeah.
Kickstarters are basically like a second job in themselves.
I know.
We also have a variant cover. So there's the regular cover by Jess Taylor, and then she's worked for like Lion Forge and other publishers. And then the variant cover is going to be by Brett Booth.
I think I just showed it to them, but let me go back to it real quick so they can see it. It's just a art in progress, right? Yeah, Brett Booth,
right now. Brett Booth, mm-hmm. who's worked for DC, Wildstorm, Marvel. He's working right now for Valiant and DC. So Brett Booth's doing the variant cover. I believe it's set in the 70s, his variant cover. So there's an option for that. There's tiers for, you know, covers plus prints. Then there's the stretch goals that if, you know, we make it to goal, there's a variety of stretch goals that include like bookmarks, pins, other prints from other artists in the business, you know, with and the prints are basically of Izzy DeSoto in different eras, like one's in the 1930s. The other one's in 1990s at a Grudge concert, where she's like she's like fighting off these demons and zombies. The other one is another stretch goal is, you know, hardcover. So a variety of stretch goals there to, you know, make the book, you know, more, you know, cooler, more, you know, more of a collectible.
Yeah.
And then, you know, extra stuff to throw at people, you know.
Great. Also, thank you so much for your time today, Marco Lopez. Go right now, ladies and gentlemen, Kickstarter.com, type in Strange Encounters, or I'll just put the long Kickstarter link to the project in the description of this show, so you can just go direct and, you know, back the project. Help them reach their goal so we can get this great another anthology. Hope it wins another Eisner, all right? And hopefully we get this other great anthology out to the market with the help of everyone. So thank you so much, Marco Lopez, for your time. Thank you for coming out to Geek Culture Congress. We got to get you in the studio, man. We got to get you in the studio.
Yes. Let's plan ahead so that way I can make
it. Yeah, I'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. You got to sign my book as well. That's really the goal. Yes. I'm just going to have to hunt you down. That's all. I'll have to stalk you. Figure out where you're at. Are you going to eat dinner somewhere? I'm like, okay. I'll just swing by. Catch you before you leave with my Sharpie. All right, man. Thank you so much for your time here at Geek Culture Congress. And I hope this is a great success, this brand new anthology.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you, brother. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's it for us here at Geek Culture Congress. Speedy Jr. signing off. Tarek and Joey had to go because, you know, they have lives too. So follow them on all the socials that are on the video right there. You can follow Joey Franchise at Joey Franchise. You can follow Tarek at My Name is Tarek. And you can follow myself on My Nocturnal Life as a DJ at DJ Speedy JR. And, of course, on all the Facebooks, just type in our names and you should be able to find us. Luis Gonzalez, DJ Speedy Jr., Tarek Lewis, or Joey Franchise. With a Z, and you can find us, okay? Thanks to Marco Lopez for your time here at Geek Culture Congress, and more interviews from the floor of Tampa Bay Comic Con will be coming to you shortly. I got about two or three more shows, episodes I need to get up to on the internet for you guys, so you can check out all those independent creators. And we'll be back with more here at Geek Culture Congress soon. Thank you so much for your support. Follow us on the Instagram, the Twitter, the Facebook, we don't have Twitter. Follow Tarek on the Twitter. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook, Geek Culture Congress. Till next time, guys. Peace.
StageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.